Well, like the bulletin says, here it comes. Whoa! It's almost here. Yeah! I mean, it's not it all over again. We're just celebrating it again. I mean, I'm so excited. Every year I get this way. It's almost too much. Yeah, here it comes. It says so on the digital sign out by the road. It's almost here. Tomorrow, we celebrate the provision for the propitiation of our sins. Wait, what did I just say? The provision for the propitiation of our sins? Where did that come from?
1 John 2, verse 2.
What does that even mean? I'm so wound up, I can't even think. I don't even know what I'm saying. I love this time of year. Good morning. I'm back. Okay, I don't think I was ever that excited for Christmas. There was one year where I was really nervous, though. That was the year I proposed to Terry. It wasn't like I didn't know what she was going to say. I mean, hey. She didn't think that was going to be a laugh either. But she's been one of God's greatest gifts to me. You might be thinking, well, Brad, the bulletin says, here it comes. What is it? Christmas? The baby Jesus? Let's think about the light of the world. 1 John chapter 1 opens with the apostle confirming that he was an eyewitness of Jesus, the incarnation or human form of God. In verse 5, he states, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." Notice that it doesn't say God is a light. It says God is light. Have you ever been in complete darkness? Not kind of dark, not dimly lit, but total darkness. A couple of years ago, we visited a small private cavern that's right here in Franklin County. Not a big developed commercial cavern like Luray Caverns in Virginia or Laurel Caverns in western Pennsylvania. One of the things that the tour guide did was have everyone turn their lights out. That was complete darkness. In the ground, in a cave, no light whatsoever. Eyes wide open, searching the space, with no light. Not even a pinpoint of light to be seen. It's really neat for a few moments. But can you imagine what it'd be like to be in that for a period of time? Disorienting, then scary. There was a sense of relief when we turned the lights back on. Darkness is the absence of light. We're uncomfortable in darkness. At our homes, we leave night lights on, or we have light that comes in through the windows from security lights outside, so we're never really in the dark at our house. Scientists have created the darkest man-made substance. It's called Vanta Black. It's not paint, it's a coating that absorbs over 99% of the light. You can't see the form or the structure of any object that it's coated with because all the light is absorbed. It's like a black hole. It's the absence of light. But darkness does not overcome light. It is the absence of light. A couple of weeks ago, Casey talked about darkness. Spiritual darkness is the result of sin in our lives. And the separation that's created between us and God. Sin creates a black hole in that way. Before creation, the earth was formless and empty, a void, a black hole. At creation, darkness covered the earth. It existed. Then God created light. It came from him. Darkness absorbs, it sucks in. Light goes out. It reflects off the surfaces, and then it spreads. God is the source of light. In the New Testament book of John, chapter 1, he wrote, "The one who is the true light, God, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He, Jesus, came into the very world he created." In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." Jesus, being the light of the world, dispels the darkness. He illuminates, turns the lights on to truth and life. Then we, as believers, reflect his light to others. But light is uncomfortable for those accustomed to the dark. I remember sitting in a class in high school, watching a movie or a video, and at the end, in that darkened room, somebody went and flicked the lights on, and there was the reaction. There's darkness of sin in our lives. When the light is shined on that sin, there's discomfort. We're uncomfortable. There's the reaction. There's also the darkness of just not knowing the truth, or not being able to put a finger on what always seems to be missing, or of a need in our lives that only Christ can satisfy. David wrote in Psalm 18, "My God turns my darkness into light." God, the creator who created the light and by very nature is light, and then Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, turns the light on in our sin, on our sin, to expose it so that we can begin to deal with it. The Holy Spirit pours into those who believe in him his light and his life, so that we continue to become more like Christ, turning our darkness into light. Jesus came to turn the lights on for us, but he also came to do something else. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, "God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice," or to pay the penalty for our sins. 1 John 2, verse 2 says it another way. He himself is the propitiation of our sins. Another version of it says it this way. He is the means by which our sins are forgiven. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He came to take your trash. Author Terry Esau has a book of quirky short stories called Blue Collar God, White Collar God. One of the stories is an allegory that he wrote about himself. An allegory is a short story that has a message or teaches a lesson. It's about a garbage man that Terry contacts to come to his house to get rid of his garbage. The company's name is God's Garbage Removal, and its motto is, "You carry it, we bury it." The garbage man goes on to say, "Everybody's got it. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to end up with all kinds of rubbish, and you got to get it out of the house." The one catch was that Terry had to take the trash to the curb and leave it there. The garbage man said, "Until you decide that it's trash and bring it on down, I can't touch it." One week, Terry took his trash to the curb, but noticed something that was still, it still might be okay. So he took it back into the house with him to enjoy it one more time. Initially, he tried to convince himself that it was okay, but soon realized that all it did was turn his stomach. After a day or two, he called the garbage man to ask him for a special pickup. And before he even got to the curb, the truck was already there. The problem was that by then the smell was overwhelming. Yet the garbage man took it willingly. He pointed out, Terry pointed out at the end of the story, the ironic thing was that he never received a bill from the garbage man for anything. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins, and every single one of us, to take our trash, and we won't receive a bill. Isn't it great that it's his birthday, but we get the gift? Some people may have come here today because it's Sunday and it's what we do on Sunday. Some may have come because of tradition. It's Christmas and they always go to church at Christmas. Some people are here to take care of some things, throw away some trash. There's a lot of people that are here because of the light that they have found that has come into and through their lives. But whatever the reason, I'm glad you're here. Just like in John chapter 8, in chapter 9, Jesus said, "But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." While he's no longer here on earth in a physical body, he didn't completely leave us. For those who have accepted him, he's given the Holy Spirit so that the light can be in us and then we reflect it onto others. Light represents hope. And hope means living with a great expectation, the sure and confident expectation of receiving what God has promised us in the future. When we're celebrating Christmas, are we just celebrating Jesus' birth, his birthday? Is this just a big happy birthday to you? It is something more. Christmas must be a recognition of what he came for, which we now know because the Bible tells the story from Genesis to Revelation, and because of Jesus' life. Jesus was with God at the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So why did he come? To be among his people, to live as a man. In John 1:14, we read, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." We've seen his glory, his light. God came to earth to be with us. As Jesus says in John 14:11, "Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." He also came to drive away the darkness in our lives. As I referenced earlier, Jesus said, "If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Of course, he came to take away our sins, that propitiation for our sins, to bring us into fellowship with God. And he came to provide hope for eternity. From John 14:3, "When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." He's coming back to get me, to get you, to take us to be with him in eternity with the Father. Are you ready? Here it comes, the light of the world. Would you pray with me? God in heaven, you provide for us every day. Certainly, the material things that we need and those we enjoy. But more importantly, you provide for our spiritual needs. You sent Jesus to walk here on earth to do something we couldn't do for ourselves, to take our sins, take our trash, and make it right with you, and to bring light into the dark. We praise you, God, and love you. Amen.
Man, thank you for that message. For this response song, I encourage you to sing along, clap your hands if you want, but you can stay seated.
May the joy of this season overflow into your lives, and may your eyes be open to the light of the world. Merry Christmas.